Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here, and a good-looking Wednesday morning. Special thanks to Andy Van Handel. Freedom Free Fall. It's an amazing thing for veterans where you get to jump out of an airplane, and it's really cool. Look up HUA, 4th HUA. In Green Bay for more information or contact us. We'll get you more information.
We'll have it on our Facebook page and the podcast.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Very special guest right now, Pat Haney from 6P Solutions, food safety for small businesses. And this is a really, really cool thing. And Pat, the first thing that Jim always criticizes me about is that we get a guest in here and we get to talking and it always turns to sports first and we get off the track.
We bring you on to help educate and show people in our community the service that you offer, because there's a lot of food service industries in Green Bay. We went out last night that took that 8 restaurant tour, international food tour, and maybe you've consulted some of those, but what you do is make sure that they're doing things safe. And so I was excited to get you in here to talk about that industry, and then Johnny just derails this thing and starts talking about sports. So I'll let you talk about sports for a couple minutes.
Well,
back to me.
How tall are you? 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, you look
6'2".
6'2", okay. So we always overestimate because I don't think we're as tall as we think
and
we are.
And he's in great shape, too. Yeah. I just want to say that.
Well, enough about me. We're going to talk about Pat here for a minute. And you're a high school basketball player down in Kenosha, and we were throwing out some names, and Nikki Van Exel's name came out. And you were a boyhood friend of his and went to games when he was with the Lakers. And he was a stud with the Lakers.
Yes, yes. It was quite the experience.
For a young kid that you knew since he was like 15 or something like that, now seeing him with the Lakers, what was that like?
It was an out-of-body experience. because I guess being around each other and, you know, growing up, you know, you'd live a certain way. And then when you see someone starts to live a very interesting way, yeah. But yet they stay the same.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. So you're at the game at the Forum, and afterwards I got that big clip. Did you watch that series, Showtime or Winning Time?
Yes.
Okay. And they talked about the Forum Club where people would go to afterwards. You actually went in there. And that was the hoity-toity of all sports in the United States. That was the epicenter of post-game activity, wasn't it?
Exactly. And as you said that, I was having flashbacks when I watched that because certain scenes and episodes was reminiscent of situations that I was actually in.
Amazing. And you met Magic Johnson, is that right?
Yes.
How was that?
It was interesting. I mean, because again, when you see people from afar and on TV, you know, you have a certain expectation and in some instances, you don't believe they're real until see them and meet them. So it was one of those type of experiences.
Outstanding. Very cool. Well, let's talk about what you do right now, because this is something very important and very critical to the business. And first of all, I just want to say, you know, one of my favorite shows I watch is Rescue This Bar or Bar Rescue.
Bar Rescue.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, when they bring, and you know that you've done with a lot of things like this, Jim, but boy, when you pull back the curtain and see how some things work, it's like, and your job or your profession here, what you've started up, is something to combat those kind of things and put everybody on board, right?
Exactly. And, you know, before we get going, first of all, I like to thank both of you guys for having me on the show.
Oh,
I didn't get
great.
A chance to say that, but I'm greatly appreciative of getting the opportunity.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. This is great to have you here.
Glad you're on here. And when we talk about you offer like really 6 different categories, but I want to really talk about food safety consulting because that's a risk when you're in business. It also can cost you a whole bunch of customers. You know what I mean? Like people, even I just want to say that it's great that you're on here today because we've gone to 8 restaurants last night, international food, and we just assumed that they had food safety. But you consult that because not everybody knows all that needs to be known. Tell us about that category.
Exactly. And with food safety, this is how I view it. You know, when you look at our power grid and the importance as it is to the country and not only the world, you have to view food in the same light because it has to be served safe or else, you know, there's unfortunate catastrophic events that happen from serving food unsafe. And a lot of it is just the education aspect of it. You know, the food safety science, temperature danger zones, you know, things that we grew up doing. For instance, like, say, if you thawed a chicken in the sink, you know, we grew up doing that, thinking sure. that that's normal. But in actuality, it's not. You know, there's thawing methods where you can do it under running water, refrigerated, or in the microwave if it's going to be.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm one of those guys, I'll keep food in my refrigerator for a really long time, and I'll literally think, smells okay, I think I'm good. But boy, that can have disastrous results, can't it?
Oh, not me. Especially.
What'd you say, Jim?
Not me, I tell you.
You toss. No, you give it to me. I get it done. I'm not even kidding about that.
I like to cook. I do, and Johnny knows that, Pat. And one time, maybe, yeah, he didn't feel good after he ate it. But other than that, John, it's been 6 months, yeah. So it's just one time.
Yeah, most of the time, I haven't been sick, Jim.
Right, but...
you know, and to get back to the point of the importance, you know, all it takes is two people with the same symptoms after eating the same food to be considered a foodborne illness. And all too often, you may go to a restaurant and later on in the evening, you know, say, oh, my stomach is upset, yeah. you know, or yeah. whatever. And not knowing that you probably contracted a foodborne illness.
See, that John, you should have.
I was up all night.
Oh,
because this pork
drank a quart of vodka, no, too, but that had nothing to do
don't
with it.
Think, yeah.
So, Pat, how does... I want to get into some other things that you do, because I just think this is awesome, the service that...
But I just want to talk, we had a lady on yesterday who was phenomenal, and she started up her business 17 years ago, and she talks about what people don't... Everybody thinks, oh, man, what a great job you have. Oh, I've always wanted to do this. People have no idea the behind-the-scenes aspect. And like what she said, you're so dependent on your staff. You might do everything right, and you got one, you know, knucklehead or whatever can really sabotage things, can't they?
Exactly. So, you know, it's knowing who's in your operation.
Yep.
And as far as the, I mean, I can't put enough emphasis on how important food safety is. You know, when COVID unfortunately hit in 2020, you know, that's when people became cognizant of hand washing. But yeah. in the food service industry, that's the number one staple. It's the most affordable way to prevent a foodborne illness and the most easiest, but it's the hardest to communicate to staff.
Okay, I'm going to ask you something, because I actually went to a little, as soon as this happened, I went to a little deli in Manitowoc, great little deli, and, you know, you're getting bombarded with all this, you know, about wear gloves, and the guy making my sandwich, and I'm watching him, and he wasn't wearing gloves, and I said, hey, and he said, well, no, actually, he said, we passed the standard, he says, it's better, more hygienic if you wash your hands after everyone versus wearing gloves that you keep on. And I go, what? Have you ever heard of that?
Well, there's a little truth to that.
Okay.
However, one important element that's missing is bare hand contact and when to have bare hand contact.
I hate it if somebody has bare hands touching my food.
Now, bare hand contact is fine when the food or ingredients are going to require further cooking.
Okay.
But if it's a TCS food, which is... food requiring time and temperature control for safety.
Okay.
That's when you must wear gloves.
Okay.
So he's right, and there are certain things, because I roll spring rolls and I don't like to wear gloves.
Right.
But, you know, it depends on who's handling the food and their personal hygiene standards.
Right.
And Pat, you made a good point that I think some of us grew up watching our mom do stuff, and that may not be the best thing.
Exactly. Like thawing a chicken. We're still here, but with right. that being said.
So what do you do with your company, Pat? How does it work?
So at 6-Piece Solutions, we strive to serve as content experts on safety, risk mitigation, and asset protection topics. And we do this to educate clients and associates on best practices to defend against obstacles, which can factor into loss-producing incidents, ultimately affecting your bottom line and a success or failure for many businesses.
Also, another thing I see here, Wisconsin's responsible alcohol service is part of your thing, right?
Yeah, actually, I just certified for my instructor certification through the National Restaurant Association. So I'm certified. However, I'm in the process of tying it in with the state of Wisconsin.
Okay, awesome. This is cool.
So that's on a national level, but gotcha. It has to be tied in with the state.
Gotcha.
I think food service, and we've talked about that. We've had some restaurant entrepreneurs on here. There's something that draws people to that industry. I don't know if it's not the most profitable for some of these people. But I don't know. It's kind of, is it glamorous? Is that a good word for it? People love being in the food industry, but I'm saying they get so excited about it that they may miss these six things that you can really help them with. So you're a very necessary step in launching your business.
I would say this should be the first step. Huh?
Right.
Exactly.
Well, the money too, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's...
And interestingly enough, those additional services, I haven't even had time to really roll them out. I've really been focused on the food safety course instruction, but those are coming. It's a lot of...
Pat, this is like the good housekeeping seal. Do they get something in the window that they've certified by you? That would give me some comfort. You obviously know what you're doing.
Yes. So once they take the 8-hour food safety course and take the exam, and if they pass, then they'll receive a food safety certification, which is recognized by the state of Wisconsin. Right. And it's a requirement for any foods establishment. So daycare centers, skilled nursing facilities, sure. Anyone that serves food for consumption has to have a PIC, which is a person in charge. And they have to be on site at all times when food is being served.
Were we talking about this here, or was it my son that told me about the waitress was bringing over food and she sneezed?
Yeah, no, we talked about that.
And then she still put it all on, and people were like,
right.
Ah!
but she was wearing gloves.
Yeah. you know, and with food safety for me, it's a blessing and a curse. A blessing because I understand food safety science and what it requires, you know, to keep you safe. But the flip side is everywhere I go and every dining experience is critiqued.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, you see someone grabbing glasses with their fingers in it. You know, you want to say, hey,
I hate that. I hate that even if they bring you a drink and their fingers are on the top of where your lips are going to go.
Exactly.
I hate that.
All of those aspects are covered in the food safety.
Okay.
And, you know, when some organizations aren't as successful, it can be attributed to the managers because when you get certified, it's great and to put on a resume that you are a food protection manager. However, if you don't take that knowledge that you learned and share it with your staff, it affects your operations.
Can you stick around?
6P solutions. We want to know how we can get to you. I want to talk to you a couple things, too.
This is cool. So I said, exactly. I watched Bar Rescue, and it's like, whoa, you'd go insane in that place, in some of those places. We got to set a quick break. Pat Haney, very important stuff here about food safety. 6P solutions, the Neighbors Company, back right after this. Wednesday morning, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. As we mentioned, at I believe it's 9 o'clock this morning, news conference set up out at UW Green Bay, which will include Kevin Borseth. So, possibly, well, without question, some big news coming out of that. Right now, very interesting gentleman, Pat Haney, 6P Solutions Food Safety, and you brought up a good point just during the break there, Pat. You don't work for the restaurants. You don't work for the whatever. You're that other entity where you don't take sides. You're that independent force that comes in and sees what's right or wrong, correct?
Exactly.
It doesn't... Cool. It,
and as a consumer, I'm glad there's people like...
Right. You're just an independent. You're not as concerned about the profit margins. I mean, they have to figure that out. But you're there to just make sure you are serving and certified to... Right. To have a healthy organization and great food service. So... The businesses that come and see you, they get certified after, and you really work with the food and beverage manager. Who do you work with, or is it a team?
Well, it depends on the organizational. Oh, you're saying from my company?
Nope. I'm talking about when you go into a restaurant, who do you train?
Well, it depends. It could be the hourly staff that in a food handler capacity, or it can be the management. It depends on the structure, on how big the organization is.
Right. And they'll get certified from you after certain hours and passing certain tests. So we should look for, is it 6P Solutions? Is that what it says on the door?
Yes. Okay. 6P Solutions.
What are some of the things you see that are pretty consistent and wrong? Because like I said, I hate it when somebody gives me my drink and their fingers are touching the top of the glass.
Touching the top of the glass, as well as when they're trying to multitask. And I understand,
sure.
You know, restaurants get busy.
They're getting slammed. I totally understand
you know,
that.
And you know, customer service is number one
right.
in the industry. So sometimes you can become overwhelmed and overtaken.
Sure.
And to that point that we were making off air is you have to have that person that's bound by no rules in terms of having to answer to someone.
Cutting through the BS and it's like,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
A business that makes those mistakes, like Johnny was talking about that deli he went to where the guy, what, he scratch his head or something?
Well,
what,
no, I was watching him make my sandwich with bare hands.
And then people don't go back, and it's those little things. I don't think people understand how much they're watching, especially because of COVID, right?
Exactly.
I mean, and this was during COVID.
And if you touch the knife or the where we're going to use it on our food, you know, that's not a good idea. And people, you know, they may tell you if they're got... to say, look, I want a different knife, but some people are just like, I'm never coming here again. So, I mean, that's...
You're doing it for... You're helping them.
Right,
absolutely. Exactly. And, you know, once...
You're not an adversary. You're actually an ally yeah. to make sure they do it right.
Right. So, normally those conversations are with the owner or management team because
sure.
they understand, you know, because those are contributing factors that affect your bottom line.
Right.
You know, because... People may not think, but that factors into workers' comp claims when you have illnesses.
Sure.
So it's really important to create managerial controls. And what those are, they're, you know, a set of principles that your organization should follow. And that's what we at 6P Solutions do. We set up contingency plans and form gap analysis.
Okay.
And you have a good partnership with the Wisconsin Restaurant Association.
Yes, yes. I had the fortunate opportunity to partnering with the Wisconsin Restaurant Association's Education Foundation back in October. And it's been amazing, not only for my business, just meeting so many business owners throughout the state of Wisconsin and fostering those relationships.
And they all want to do it right, I'm sure.
They do.
Yes, yes. Now, it's the how do I do it?
Right.
You know, and then when you have processes that's been in place for a very long time, you get complacent. So sometimes it's good to bring someone in, shake things up, and point it out. You want me to find that.
But
you shouldn't.
Do you ever go in almost like undercover, just go to a place and observe?
Yes, actually, I have a service, my discreet dining service critique.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I want to be one of those people.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Actually, you can. We can talk about it because it's so cool. I mean, it's you come in comfortable like that and you just give the owner a snapshot into how their staff are performing because you want them to be brand ambassadors of your establishment.
Awesome.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. They were very supportive of me with my previous job because they want to do the best thing. And you can say, look, you want a tax break. They really don't. They really want customers, you know? So what can you do for the events, for the infrastructure? But they were pretty involved politically. And I think that's a great organization that has really tried to elevate their industry. And they have some great people on there in this area of the state. I don't know the rest of the state, but I'm glad you're partnering with them, Pat.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, a lot of people might not understand or be aware, but the Wisconsin Restaurant Association is a nonprofit, and it's an education
right.
Foundation as well. So there's another aspect of that.
I know bar owners that have hired people to just be a customer and watch and see if they're getting skimmed by their servers.
Exactly. And the state has an enforcement agency that does that. And
okay.
They're all ages. You can have someone 16 go into a convenience store and try to purchase a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, no kidding.
Alcohol. Yeah, they're... I can't think of the title, but I had to study it when I took my food or
there was a guy years ago played for the Packers, and he ran a bar, not here. It was like back out east from like Boston area or something. And he was complaining because he said he's just getting robbed by his, you know, bartenders and everything. It's unbelievable. He says, I just can't believe it. We have these big customer thing and the great out. And it's like, you know, where's the till? Where's the money in the till? So he hired a guy to do it. And he was there for the guy was there for 3 days. And he said, I found the culprit. He said, this guy's been stashing money in his pockets every single night I'm here. Yeah. It was him. He would get so drunk every night with his customers that he'd just grab the money and the thing and put it in his pocket and forget he did it. True story.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and it was a fairly famous Packer player from the 60s that this happened to.
Needs a new industry. So, well, yeah.
Back to Jake Tapper and Bar Rescue.
Yes.
That's what he does.
Yes. Yes. I would love to be involved with something like that.
John's looking for something. So
looking for a little something on the side. Let me know if you want to hire me, okay?
We all need a side hustle, John.
Yeah. Like nobody would recognize John Minor walking into a restaurant. Right?
But they wouldn't think I was there to pick up on things that they were doing wrong.
Possibly. Right?
I'd just be there to see if they wanted to talk football and if I could get a couple of free drinks.
And he's going to be
let's
just
be
like,
honest.
Typical night.
Yeah. He would end up.
It's called Tuesday.
He would end up just like the guy stashing the money. He wouldn't remember. What do you find out, John? Yeah, they were good. They're good. They're clean. They're good.
I won't worry about it. But he said they were $300 short in the till. Really? Huh? I didn't see anything. Yeah.
Do you do any work? Preble has a pretty good culinary program for the students. And do you work with the high schools at all? Or are you really established businesses? Because I want to know. Like I want some people to contact you because I think you're a necessary step in.
I agree. I think this is cool. I didn't know you existed, this kind of an organization.
You know, actually, that's something that I want to tap into because, you know, even getting information as early as high school is
absolutely.
Beneficial.
Those are some great kids over there that are they
especially
have a passion.
If you're going to go into the food service industry,
right? And that's what. Okay, hey, how do we get in touch with you? This is a great. You have a great company, and how do we get in touch with you?
Well, you could reach me at 920-393-3155, and you also can reach me by email at newfoodsafety920@gmail.com, as well as on the web at the6ps.com, which is THE, the letter, the number six, the letter PS.com.
Awesome.
All right, we're going to repeat
stuff,
that,
man.
Thank you for coming in. We'll talk about this again, but this is a cool business.
Next time you come in, we're talking all basketball.
Definitely. You? I definitely got to get back in here with you guys because I got a lot to share with you.
All right. We're going to set a break back after this.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. That was interesting. We're getting him back. And we're all talking about it. And Eric just walked in to talk about indoor golf. He's like, with Pat, you're like, this is fascinating stuff about something that you follow too, right?
Yeah, I love food. I think anybody that knows me knows that I really love to cook, and that's something that I've enjoyed for a really long time. I've been able to work with some amazing chefs, and I just absolutely
have you done it professionally?
No, absolutely not. I am a home cook, and I think there's a big difference between being a cook
that's
and
what
a
Jim
chef.
Is. I am. Okay,
but it's therapeutic. I can spend all day in the kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely.
All day. And when COVID hit, and then even when it was when they
is
tried
his phone
to
going off again.
Yeah. You should have seen it the other day. Somebody was calling him during the show, and he had his phone in his briefcase, and he's going through it live on the air. Could not find his phone, even though it was ringing.
It happens.
They say it must be yours. Yeah, Scotty, it must be your phone. It's like no,
for sure.
No,
all right, no. Back to perfect, John.
Yeah.
But what I
did you ever find your phone in Mexico when you lost your phone in Mexico a couple of weeks ago? Did you ever find that? Okay. All right.
I just.
Okay. How about that time? God, what was how I about that time about? You called me and you said you had to backtrack an entire day, all the different places you went because you left your phone
someplace?
I did. Someplace?
I went everywhere. I backtracked my whole day and then I went and got another phone because you can't live without it today.
And then
it was. We read a lot of newspapers here. So I took the newspapers, folded it up, took it in my car, and it was in there.
Yeah.
And I just, anyway, it was totally.
I did it last night. If I'm being perfectly
look
honest,
at this guy.
I did it. Yeah.
I'll tell you one I did one time. I was in Appleton. I was staying at the Paper Valley, and it was the 432nd Civil Affairs. They had their big dining out thing, which is a pretty crazy night. Okay. Yeah. Wake up the next morning, no phone. It's like, oh my Lord. And we went all up and down College Avenue, and it's like, so I call the front desk and I say, hey, I think I lost my phone. Maybe it's in the room. I don't know. Could I give you my number? Could you call it so I could see if it will ring here? She goes, I could, but sir, why don't you just call it on the phone you're speaking in right now? It's like, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, this.
It's that's a trick.
Yes.
So Eric Nornberg, yes. Green Bay Indoor Golf Summer Series. It is golf day. Talk about that.
Yeah. So the summer
it
series.
It feels like it, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it really Today's does. And it's start of Masters Week. It's the par three contest. Yep. I mean, today. So much. It just feels like spring. You know, everything about this time of year and all of the like rituals, I want to say, that go along with it, just make you feel good. This summer series is something I've had in my back pocket in my brain for a really long time. You know, I wasn't really someone that was initially brought up around the game. I grew up like playing baseball, and then golf was kind of like my second sport because my dad, his back wasn't so good. And I was just a kid that wanted to spend time with his dad. So for me, initially, I never really felt super welcome in the game of golf. I was always the outsider. I was like the long-haired hippie kid that wore tie-dyes and listened to Led Zeppelin. And so, you know, for me, I really find importance in making everybody feel as comfortable as they can.
I know what you're talking about. That,
yeah. It's not a super welcoming sport.
Right.
And it's really easy to make you feel stupid. And I can't think of a better way to say it is like, you know, people, once they get into the game for a little while, they forget that they sucked too.
Yeah.
You know, when they started, like you feel so stupid because it just sits there. It's not a football. It's not a basketball. Nothing's moving. And it just says, go ahead, try to hit me.
Absolutely.
See if you can.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
I wish we could tee off as a group.
Yeah, we can.
Well, that's when the pressure's on, right?
Yeah.
Your friends are all sitting around.
Well, I loved it. I used to play at a Green Bay golf club, and you got everybody sitting under the patio having their cocktails, and you're hitting right in front of them, and they're commenting.
Yeah. It's like, and I think there's a certain skill to just, like, learning how to get it dialed in for the moment and you know, kind of learning how your body responds to things like that. And then also, like, finding the line of which you just do not care. Yeah. You know, where you're like,
But sometimes their rules are so strict. Kevin Borisseth, who we're talking about, who's going to be making a big announcement today. We I think it was his event, and I hosted it out at Green Bay Country Club. Mm-hmm. And there's this one par three that you hit down. There's like a creek all around it and everything.
I have not played it.
Okay.
So,
well,
that's
so
a
anyway,
good course.
So
I've heard.
We both put it in the water. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. So we're both youpers.
All right.
We're both trout fishermen.
Sure.
So what do? You go into the stream and you find your ball.
100%.
Okay. So then we're, oh my God, we must have gotten 30 balls we picked up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. We kept yelling, 22, 23, 20. It was incredible. We filled our bag with balls. Okay. So then we go back to the clubhouse afterwards, and two things people were really upset with. They're like, first of all, it was my general manager from the old radio station. She goes, Mino, look at what you're tracking in the mud and the water. He's like, what? Where were you? Look at the carpet, you and Kevin. It's like all over the place. I said, well, we're in the water. We found a hole. We bought like 50 balls. He goes, didn't you see the sign? You're not allowed to go in the water.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It happens. We had a guy at one of the courses I ran. He would actually come in and he'd like put on scuba gear and he would just like go and do it. And we'd do a 50-50 split with him. And he'd go like sell all the
balls. Collect
other
all the balls?
Yeah, I'd take him for range balls. It was a great
it's
arrangement.
It's amazing how many are in the water, isn't it?
Fantastic.
It is. Unbelievable.
Golf is hard, you know.
It's hard.
It's so hard.
They make it frustrating though with the water, the sand. But that's the game. What I like about golf, and I said this when you arrived this morning, that's a lifelong sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not only is it a lifelong sport, it's kind of an international sport too. Because my
huge international
daughter married this kid from Colombia and goes down, and they love to golf. And that's just great that it helped her get to know her father-in-law better.
It's huge. And, you know, Augusta National has linked so many amateur international events with invites now to the Masters that's coming up here. So, like, if you win the Latin American Am, you get an invite to Augusta to go play at, you know, the same places that the best players in the world are at. And I think that's such a wonderful thing. And it just ties into, you know, the growing of the game for me and my role, everything I've ever tried to do in my life. It's how do I grow the game? How do I make it more inclusive? Because I really do know what it feels like to be an outsider. And had it not been for just, you know, a few really specific people in my life, I don't think I would be here.
So your indoor golf, I mean, obviously it's teaching people, but can anybody learn how to golf?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm 100% sure. And I know it seems like
it's so frustrating.
It really
is. I throw
is.
My clubs. I'm one of those guys.
I always joke with people that I got good at fixing clubs because I was really good at breaking clubs. Like, I can fix anything. I'm a tinkerer through and through. And everybody that knows me knows this. Golf is something that anybody can learn. And I think that anybody could find value in, you know, whether it's for physical or for social means. You know, for me, golf is as much a social endeavor as it is a physical one. And I would argue that the quality of life that it, you know, the greatest thing it adds to quality of life is through the social factor of it.
Right.
So, and, you know, especially when people sit there and they're like, well, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, again, during COVID, it's like, hey, I can get out.
Right.
I can do these things that are, you know, within guidelines and are safe and are whatnot. And I mean, what a wonderful thing.
I will say this, one of the best stress relievers, but I used to have a job that had some stress to it. Unlike this. Going to a driving range by yourself with a bucket of balls.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You talk about the PTSD, they skydive.
Yeah.
That was a perfect thing to do to kind of get rid of stress on a bad day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this last summer, I would just kind of like go to a course at random, and I would just walk in and I would just like, can I just get a bucket of balls?
Yes.
And I really wouldn't talk to anybody. I'd like walk out. I'd put some, you know, headphones on and just get away. And I always, when people come in, you know, to our shop and whatnot, and, you know, because most people, they don't know what it is. They don't know what we're about. They don't even know that we existed. And they see, you know, how we have it set up. And it's almost, you know, for those people that are just listening and they haven't been in, almost like a bowling alley in weight, but you have your own bay. It's like a 15 by 15 foot imprint, a big screen. You can do whatever you want in it, right? And so that's cool. There's a lot of privacy that comes with that. And so where some people might really find relaxation on the driving range, a lot of people can actually feel unnerved when they're starting because they don't want to look stupid.
Absolutely.
And so I say, you know, nobody here is trying to cut it out on tour, guys. Like, come in, be happy, be fine. We're all here, you know, to help.
And, you know, I want to say one thing, though, too. I was watching that series that was on where it was like almost like behind the scenes. It was Jordan Spieth.
Oh, yeah. Full swing on Netflix.
And I remember Justin Thomas, and he's with his dad, who's kind of a swing coach. It's like, this is one of the greatest golfers on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And he kind of lost his swing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And this
it just, so it's like for us, that
you know,
go
it happens so quickly. Yeah, like
exactly.
That.
Yep. Talk a little bit about your actual business here, Eric.
Yeah, yeah. So we're at 2255 Main Street. We're right by the East Branch of the Brown County Library. We actually shared a wall with them for a while. And then obviously they had that beautiful new, you know, addition.
Yeah.
Brand new place. So we are right there. We try to marry a little bit of everything. So we have the, in my opinion, the absolute best units. They are like a one-of-one tracking system, and that makes a huge difference when it comes to like the quality of the data. So there's a lot of distrust that has been sown with indoor golf for a while, because you look at it and you kind of side eye your buddies and you're like, I don't know if that really happened.
It's kind of like, do you ever see the Charlie Behrens has a partner with him now, the guy with the beard, and he's out there golfing.
I've seen like the first time golfer.
And he's like, oh man, I don't know what's wrong. On the simulator, I was like 320.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. absolutely. And so, you know, like there's this, there's this disconnect. There's this distrust. But all we do is actually just watch the golf ball. And so we pair, so we view it in infrared, and I don't want to get too technical here, but all we do is watch how it turns exactly, and that's what we show you. So a lot of units will try to guess within a range of probability in terms of what happens, and then that's where that distrust really starts to happen, because like it might not, but that's all we do. And so it seems oversimplified, but it's the best way to do it. And so, you know, so many people come in, they're like, wow. Like, we didn't think it could be this. I can chip, I can putt, I can do all of these things. I mean, I can kick a golf ball at my place, and you'll be able to see how it plays out on the screen. And that just doesn't happen anywhere else.
Just to get to more technical here, it says your projectors and cameras calculate the speed, distance, and spin rate of the ball using infrared technology.
Yeah, that's correct. So, you know, we don't have to worry about, like, different lighting settings, which sometimes can be an issue in other places. So you can actually read the logo on the golf ball. Like, I can hit a golf ball. Let's say I swing at 115 miles an hour, and the ball comes off at 173 miles an hour, right? I can watch the ball physically compress on screen, and then turn and read the logo, like for Titleist or for whatever it is, as it does that. And so we give you then, after every shot, like a video replay, right? So you get to see how well, or sometimes how not well you hit it. And, you know, that's been a great thing of just for like guys that come in on Saturday mornings, like, did you see how bad that was?
Yeah.
But, you know, again, what that does for me is it links it so well. It's like, hey, I did what I thought I did, or I didn't do what I thought I did. And that's huge to be able to say, hey, I know you thought you caught
it. Either way,
it,
it's legit.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
So you want to get the right spin.
Yeah.
And then you coach that.
Yeah.
And the techniques, it's techniques. Is it different clubs or is it just all techniques?
No, I mean, golf is, I would argue, like one of the most individual things you can, you know, choose to do as a person.
Absolutely.
Because you have all these body types that are successful. So for me, it's the right combo of everything. Something that works for someone, you know, will not necessarily work for the other person. So, you know, when I sit down and I do lessons, the first thing is, how do we learn? And you have to figure out how you communicate. And then from there, you figure out how that person latches on. And then you can really make way for movement and learning.
I still say the most amazing thing for anybody that golfs, go to an LPGA tournament and don't even worry about what's going on during the real tournament.
Yeah.
Go to a driving range.
Yeah.
And because you got like 250-pound guys who, you know, try to hit it 300 yards. Yeah. I'm a big, strong, whatever guy. You got these young ladies that are about 118 pounds who hit it 300 yards or close to it so effortlessly. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
This is the most... I don't even know how to
makes
describe
you feel, it makes you feel bad about yourself. Yeah. You can just say it. Yeah.
And young, they had the women's golf tournament, you know, here.
Yeah,
at Thornbury.
Yeah, Thornbury. Amazing.
I always went with Mike Smith to that. But that, the driving range is really fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Because that is like, and it looks like, it's
amazing.
Look that hard.
Amazing.
It's like, but.
And I think guys, a lot of guys that have played sports all their lives, we got to muscle it.
Yeah.
Got to muscle it.
Yeah.
I love the game. Watching golf, like the PGA.
I love the game, but the game doesn't love me.
Same.
But watching it is difficult.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch it on TV because it's got to be part mountain goat to watch that
stuff.
Oh, it's tough.
Totally.
We got a great break.
I want to hear tomorrow about this.
We got a question for you on the phone. Is that okay, Eric?
Yeah.
We'll come back right after
absolutely.
This. Got a great
Can't
guest
wait.
Here, folks. Any golfers, pay attention. Back after this. Mine on the mayor here. Very interesting. We've had great guests today. Eric Nordenberg, Green Bay and Appleton Indoor Golf Summer Series. We're talking about that. We got a question from Ryan. Is that right?
Oh,
hi, Ryan.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Ryan.
You know Ryan?
Yeah, so I got a question.
It sounds like him.
All right.
I got a question for Eric.
Yeah.
So I heard a rumor a couple months back that you were playing around to 18 and you got sore after a couple of holes and you just randomly decided to switch to playing lefty. What's the accuracy of that? How well did you do in that round?
Wow.
Okay, Ryan, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening.
Is
this legit?
This is true.
Okay, this is our embarrassed the guest.
But
moment.
No,
thank you.
I think this is phenomenal.
Yeah. Lefty?
Did you use right-handed clubs and play left-handed?
No, I used left-handed clubs and I played left-handed. I wasn't feeling the best that day, and my elbow was like really hurting, but I can
from lifting beers. I'm just asking.
absolutely. Yeah. And it was one of those things where I wasn't feeling great. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make myself mad if I keep playing right-handed. So I'm just going to go ahead and play left-handed instead. And I'm not like ambidextrous, but I do have the ability to hit a club left-handed, it's just a weird thing I guess I can do. And I went out and I played really well. So that's Ryan. I did that with him and I beat him.
Really?
He and my friend Justin. They were actually in our place. He looked at me and he's like, "Wait, did you just grab left-handed clubs?" I was like, "Yeah, I did." He's like, "Why would you do that?" And I hit a shot and he goes, "Ah."
Wow.
Okay. Unreal. Yeah.
And so we played.
Most of us live to have a good shot
being
right-handed.
Both ways.
I don't know like how it started. I can tell you the first time that I noticed anything like that, it was when I went up to like deer camp basically with my dad, and I grabbed a rifle for the first time when he was teaching me how to shoot, and I put it on my left shoulder, and he goes, "What?"
Wow.
And I'm like, "This is just how it feels." And he's like, "I mean, I guess okay." Wow. So I guess I've just had a tendency. Yeah, I mean, like to a degree.
I hate people like you.
Yeah, me too.
I just tested it out.
I couldn't even dribble left-handed. Right. When I played football, I couldn't do it. I couldn't pitch with my left hand. It was,
God. So, Eric, people, I think everybody wants to be a good golfer. Mm-hmm. Like, because like we talked about earlier, it's awesome. You're outside.
Yeah.
Those tennis courses are unbelievable.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They are. Yeah. And you get to walk around. Beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Certain age limits?
No, I don't think so. So, you know, when I talk to parents about this a lot, I think the best thing that you can do for a child is like fill them with good feelings with it. That is number one, the most important thing. If you make it a job right away, the kid's not going to like it, just like anything else, you know? So the best thing you can do is just have them be surrounded with environments that are good and positive for them. And then from there you can, again, you know, introduce the learning, and just kind of guide them along that.
The one thing, like I was saying before, it's like you'd watch these women on the LPGA circuit, you know, 120 pounds, mm-hmm. and they're putting out there like you can't believe.
Yeah.
It is the most universal sport in regards to body types that exists.
Agreed. Would you agree? Agreed completely. And you know, with golf, there's a direct correlation with the amount of work that you put into it with, you know, the results on the back end. You know, not all of us are born 7 foot. We can't play center. You know,
but speaking of that, I just read about that guy from, I think, South America. He's like 6'10".
Christo Lamprecht.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's incredible. He's so good. He hits the ball, you know, forever. Again,
you were talking about
lever.
Ball speed that you guys register.
Yeah.
This is like 200 miles an hour or something.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a couple guys that get up in the high 180s, low 190s that come in. And so that in its own, once you get to that sort of threshold, is impressive that we track it that well. But again, all we're doing is showing you, you know, kind of what happens. But yeah, it's an insane thing
to
do.
Like I said, we all want to be good golfers. It's kind of a family thing to do.
I mean,
we would golf. I just look for you dads listening out there. Let me give you a little secret. Kids don't want to get people like waiting for them.
Yeah.
Like, so we would call the golf course and say, "What's the last tee time?" We'd go Sunday night.
Oh yeah, great idea.
Sometimes we only did 6 holes. Yeah. It was getting dark, but if we didn't have that stress about it. Like you said, it's gonna make it fun. I want to get back to the indoor golf.
Yeah.
How do we contact you? Or what's the option?
So we book all of our tee times on our website, which is just greenbayindoorgolf.com. You can call our staff too, you know, and ask like, "Hey, how is everything looking?" And my staff will let you know. I can never promise anything to anybody that just walks in. You know, we're kind of getting towards the tail end of our season where we shut down seasonally, but I really want to tie into the point that you just made there, Jim, where, you know, a lot of the times parents, you know, with their kids, they don't want to feel like they're slowing anybody up. I think that is one of the great beauties of what we do at our facilities, because you book it by the hour and it's just your time.
Nice.
So I have parents and children come in all the time. It's the perfect place for beginners, because again, there's no one burning holes in the back of your skull while you're in there. No one's saying, "Hey, hurry it up." You don't have to worry about like the nuances when it comes to etiquette, you know, because it's like, do I rake this bunker? Do I put the pin? You know, like there are all these things. And so you can really comfortably integrate yourself with this environment and, you know, a culture that exists for golf. And ours is definitely a little bit different. And so, you know, that's why I think when, you know, this idea for the summer series for me has been, how do I make it as appealing to everybody? And the goal is to build community. Number one, that is it.
Yeah. I love it.
Awesome.
Because that can be a very frustrating game for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
One is you can have a bad day. Secondly, you can have people come on, or they don't say it, but you can feel it.
Right.
So I think that's really cool what you're doing.
And at the opposite end, we just had a text, but Traverse City, Michigan, he goes over and golfs all the time. 99-year-old guy that he golfs with.
Yeah.
Still shoots between 50 and 55 for nine.
Yeah. If you play from the appropriate tees, and Mr. Nicholas has been a huge endeavor of the Tee It Forward movement, you know, and the idea is like, oh, well, I'm a guy, so I'm going to play from the whites. You're like, yeah, you hit it 180 yards off the tee. Is play the forward tees.
Right.
What does it take for you to hit a driver and then a 7 or an 8 iron, maybe on average? Because if you look at the lengths that they play it out on tour, you know, men's or women's, that's kind of what they're going for. You know, they're trying to make it harder because they are so good at what they do. But that is really the sweet spot. And so I think, you know, a lot of people aren't really wanting to like bury their pride like that. And so you see guys, you know,
saying,
you know, like, I'm going to play from back here. I'm like, yeah, but you're going to shoot 105.
Yeah.
You know, don't do it.
Yeah.
So yeah. it's greenbayindoorgolf.com. Is it
Appleton?
Is it
Appleton? Yeah, and then it's also appletonindoorgolf.com. You know, our guys down there, Jordan and TK run the shop. Mike Moldenauer's the man at the tippy top. And I've known him for a really long time. He's actually the guy that brought me in. I was down out of state.
Gotta
and
ask you this. You said you shut down during the summer hours?
Yep, okay. A little bit.
Do you give lessons during the summer?
Yeah. I mean, so last year I was lucky enough to do some teaching at Chaska and Appleton.
Oh!
But yeah, I mean, we'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturdays starting in June from like 2 to 8. Tons of time.
We're signing up,
I want to get back into the game.
Hey, I'm here.
We're going to talk.
Thanks for what you're doing.
Yeah, this is great. And I love what you're doing with the kids.
It's
so
healthy.
Important.
It's good for families. Yeah. And this is great to have this. Yeah. All right, yeah. Green Bay Indoor Golf.
Yep. Fantastic. Sorry. We're going to have you back talking more about that, okay?
Perfect.
All right.
Thanks, Eric.
Quick break.